and now Evangelist David Shannon.
Hope you brought your Bible, and let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy, the second chapter. 1 Timothy, the second chapter. How do you build a church? We've been looking at that the past few Sunday nights. The answer tonight is kind of a neat answer. I remember when I was just a little boy, couldn't stand girls. Just got in the way. Then I grew a little bit older and I started liking them but couldn't admit it. Then finally I was old enough to admit it and I enjoyed the presence. Then I grew up to marry one and love her dearly. And the reality is that is what Paul says to Timothy. He says, you want a powerful church? You want to build a church for God? He says, you fill it with powerful women. And we've seen from the first chapter, he said, stay in Ephesus. Timothy wanted to go. He wanted to be with Paul. Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. In a sense, it was a plea. Please let me come and work with you. And he says, no, you stay in Ephesus. There's work to be done. We need those people staying in the law, verses 8, 9, and 10 of the first chapter. And then he said, I charge you, verse 18. He challenged him to fulfill the work of building a congregation there at Ephesus. And so then in the second chapter, he says, let me tell you, the first thing you need to work on, teach them to pray. And I hope that we are a praying congregation. And I believe as we go throughout this study and see the things that Paul tells Timothy to do, that we will see a difference in our congregation. I believe that. If I didn't, I wouldn't be preaching it. I think the same things that work to build the church at Ephesus will build the church at East Gaston. Now tonight, I'll probably say it more than once. We usually look at this section of verses from a negative standpoint. I don't think that's the only reason Paul put these verses in about the women. I don't think if we were in Bible class and I were to say to you, I want you to read to yourself verses 9 through 15, you would look at those verses and it wouldn't take you very long of reading before you would say, if I ask, what are these verses about? Probably 75% and maybe even 90% would say, well, these are the verses that tell women they can't run around half naked and that they can't be in worship service and say anything. Well, maybe there's some truth to those things. But there's a lot of positive teaching in here that most of the time goes unnoticed because we concentrate only on the negative. Now, I'm not trying to discard the teachings that he does teach here about the negative. We need to concentrate on those. But tonight, let's look at the positive. How do you build a church? Verse 9, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. He says, fill your building, fill your assemblies with those ladies that are beautiful on the inside. Don't worry about the beauty on the outside. If you want a powerful congregation, don't you have those women that what they concentrate on is beauty on the outside and that's it. Don't have them that concentrate on how much gold they can wear, how they can fix their hair, or how expensive a clothing they can have. Notice verse 10, but, in parentheses, which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. Good works. That should ring a bell. This morning we spent much of the lesson talking about how we must have good works. And it's kind of neat. Now Paul writes to Timothy and he says, you need women with two things. You need women with an inward, godly beauty that are going to work on the outside. Inward beauty, outward actions for the Lord. Brethren, today we need the same thing. If you don't believe it, you look at congregations that are growing, that are reaching out. Look on our board out where we have the teachers. I believe there's 5 men's names, 10 women. Look at any congregation, the programs that are successful. Almost any program within that congregation will have more women than men almost every time. Visitation programs, any kind of outreach programs, any kind of especially the food preparation. We could go on and on listing the works that need to be done. Women are a powerful asset for the Lord's cause of spreading Christianity. Here Paul realized that. And so he didn't just simply stop with the things they can't do, but he emphasized to have the godliness and to have the actions. If you will, turn over to Proverbs, the 31st chapter. Proverbs, the 31st chapter, is a section of verses that I believe most are very familiar with these verses. I hope you are. Now remember what we just talked about. Paul saying there's two things that a church needs in women: inward beauty and action for the Lord. Notice as we pick out just a few of these verses. Verse 10, Proverbs 31, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Why? Why does he trust her? Because of her inward beauty. Think how many relationships this very night are in trouble. They're in danger because the woman's husband can't trust her. How we need churches that are filled with women that have inward beauty of trust. Verse 12, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Now there's the action. "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth forth her food from afar." 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22 all deal with the works of the woman. The things she should be doing for her house and for herself, for her God. Verse 23, "Her husband is known in the gates when he setteth among the elders of the land." Now, why would that verse be here with the verses about a woman? Because many men are destroyed because of the lives of their wives. The wife has the power to destroy the family, to destroy the respect that perhaps that husband and that family could have in the community and in the church. But yet it can be destroyed by a wife that is not virtuous. Notice verse 25. "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." It's not the gold. It's not the costly pearls or the expensive wardrobe. It's strength and honor. Inward beauty. "She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness." 28, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." Wraps up all of our talking here, verse 30. Favor or popularity is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of her fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This evening, East Gadsden needs desperately women that will step up and say, "I will fulfill that role to the best of my ability. I want to be a powerful asset for the Lord, for my family, and I want to be powerful in myself. I want to make sure my own soul is secure and safe." Many times we fail to emphasize the positive role of women in the church. Also, we move to verse 11. Verse 11, 1 Timothy 2. "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection." Let the women learn. Now, often we skip right over to the next part, in silence. Yes, we should think about in silence. But tonight, let's think about let the women learn. We need to make sure that we have women here at East Gadsden that are willing to learn. Women that are willing to learn about God, about Christianity, salvation, and all the things that we need to be living and that we need to be teaching, even by example. You know, when you look at Hebrews 10, verse 25, the verse we often quote about, "Forsake not the assembly ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now that's for all. That's a command for all, men and women. So we see Timothy says, come together and learn in silence. Hebrews says, come together. Why? To exhort one another. Now the word exhort means press toward action. We come together to encourage each other to act, to live the Christian life. We need to realize that, yes, women are a very, very important part of our assembly. Women are powerful in the assembly. Yes, they pray in the assembly. They may not lead prayer, but they pray. Women sing. They may not lead singing, but they sing in the assembly. Yes, there's just a few restrictions on the women, but yet many times we concentrate completely on those restrictions and we fail to emphasize all of the things that women can do. Women can come together, they can learn, and they can exhort us, they can encourage us just by their presence and their encouraging words to press toward the Christian life. Paul, writing to Timothy, encouraged him, fill your congregation with women that are beautiful on the inside, ready to act on the outside, and ready to come together into your assemblies to learn. Now, I firmly believe that God does not give any command except to help better us for the kingdom of heaven. I don't think that He gives us women the command to learn in silence just for the fact of He needed to fill up some space. I think women learn for a reason. Perhaps the first reason we could look at is what Paul writes, and we will look into these verses a little later. Turn over just a few pages to Titus. We see in Titus the second chapter. I think this is a very important reason why women learn. Titus the second chapter, verse 1 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now here's what he is telling Titus at Crete to speak. Verse 3, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Now that's why older women need to be listening in the assembly so they can carry this out in their life. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 4, "That they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." Now wait a minute, Paul. I thought that it was just a natural thing for a woman to love her husband. I thought it was just natural for a woman to love their children. And so our society thought it was natural as well. Look what has happened since 1975. The first year in America we had over 1 million divorces, and it's been that way ever since. Why? Because somewhere along the way, women were not taught how to love their husbands, and husbands not taught how to love their wives. But the truth is, we need desperately, desperately older women that will take the time, the concern, the love to sit down, either in a classroom situation or one-on-one, and teach our younger ladies how to love their husbands, how to love their children. And then as the following verses say, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I believe this will help our congregation, not because it's my thoughts, but because that is the command in the Word of God. And we're blessed right now. Brethren, we're blessed tremendously at East Gaston, and let me remind you why. We have several strong Christian ladies that would fall under the first category, older. And we have several Christian ladies that would fall under the second category, younger. Now we as a congregation need to make sure that's being done. Why? Because if we're going to build the church at East Gaston the way the Lord wants it to be built, it has to have powerful women, power, meaning that their inward beauty is pure in the sight of God, and that their outward actions is also pure in the sight of God. Also, I think another reason he tells us to learn, or tells the women to learn, he tells them to learn because they in return are going to have to teach their children. Notice the 15th verse. Now, I have a little bit of confusion in my own mind on the 15th verse, and I've done quite a bit of studying, and I'm going to do more studying on the 15th verse. 15th verse says, notwithstanding, now he's already given, let's go back and read 13 and 14, for Adam was first formed in Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. She shall be saved in childbearing. I just can't believe that this text is speaking of Genesis 3:16, where it says that the woman will have pain in childbearing. That just doesn't fall into this text, especially in this phrase, when the phrase says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. I believe simply what this phrase is teaching is that the woman's task is, if she has children, it's to bring those children up in a godly home. That, in a sense, is her salvation. That is what her Christian life should be at that point. I think it's terrible to see women with children at home feel guilty because they can't do more in the work of the church. Brethren, if we have a woman that has children at home, she has all the work she can do. She has a 7-day-a-week teaching job right there at home. And we need to realize the importance of that task. And I believe that is the subject Paul was teaching Timothy here. As you teach those women, how important it is that they teach their children. I hope we all can realize that as parents. A very neat, interesting point that I noticed recently, perhaps some of you realized it years ago, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Have you ever stopped to think how simple the command sounds for children? Their only command is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Have you ever stopped to think how much responsibility that puts upon the parents? Jesus, if that's the command you wanted us to have, children, obey your parents. How are children supposed to learn about Jesus? How are children supposed to learn the doctrinal concerns that they should be concerned about? How are they to be motivated? How are they to learn the proper attitudes, the proper love? They're to obey their parents. All of that is to fall under the parents' teaching. Brethren, the truth is, we've looked at that first verse in Ephesians 6, at least I have for years, and said, now that's a verse for kids. That's a verse for parents. That leaves the field wide open. Parents must lay the spiritual foundation for their children. Children are to answer in every way to those parents, if those parents are laying the proper foundation. We need powerful women. Why? Because we have young people. We have young people that need that Christian home. We have young people that need that Christian atmosphere. We have young people that live around those mothers so many hours of every day. And every hour of every day, they need to see a Christian mother, a Christian example. Brethren, that will change any congregation. That will change any youth group, if that is being done. Another reason I think women are to learn is so that they can teach outside the assembly. You remember in Acts, Apollos taught a false doctrine. Aquila and Priscilla pulled him aside, and it says that they taught him the way more perfectly. Brethren, we need to make sure that just because we have women that women think there's no place to be teaching. There's many times when a woman can have more influence and more impact upon a soul than a man just because of her tenderness and because of the love and concern that she may have when others have a lack of that love and concern. I hope that all of us here will realize the powerful role that a woman does have. Now, I hope at the same time we all realize the restrictions that God has placed on some of those. But that's not strange. That's not awkward. That's not putting a woman as a second-class citizen. God is putting, He has put restrictions on all of us. When we look at next week, whenever we look into the third chapter and we see the qualifications for an elder, there's many that will not fulfill those qualifications, but that doesn't make them a second-class citizen. That simply makes them not qualified to be an elder. This evening, I encourage us as men to be an encouragement to the women. And I encourage women to concentrate on inward beauty. Read Proverbs 31 again for the next few days. And make sure that your inward beauty begins, and immediately after you have that inward beauty, make sure that your outward actions are a reflection of that inward beauty. And make sure that when we come to the assembly, that we all, not just the women, but we all come together to learn, because there's so much in God's book for us to learn. And that we leave here ready to show it by the way we live tonight. Is there anyone here that's they're not satisfied with the way their inward beauty is at this time? They realize that their soul is in conflict with God. If you've never become a Christian, look at your soul, look at your condition, look at your future. If you have become a Christian, but yet you've fallen away, look at the mistakes. If you're ready to turn away from them, and I hope and pray that you are, come forward asking for forgiveness from God and from the church. Start afresh. What we need here at East Gaston is every member in harmony with the Lord and working. Every member. If we can help you in any way tonight, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.